بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد اللهم صلي على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Maulana Barar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, his advice was that before starting any bayan or any lecture, it's nice to discuss one guna, one sin, or one dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So before we start to the bayan, one guna, one sin that we'll discuss today is the guna of listening to music. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained in a hadith that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has sent me to destroy musical instruments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to destroy musical instruments. Anything that plays music, then it was the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to destroy that musical instrument. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, Al-ghina yumbitu al-nifaqa fil qalb kama yumbitu al-ma'u al-zar'a. That music is such a thing, it will create nifaq and hypocrisy in the heart of a person, like how water will make crops grow. When a person waters the plants, how those plants just grow, then like that music will make nifaq and hypocrisy grow in the heart of a person. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala save us and protect us from music, from listening to music, whether in whichever way it is, that a person maybe has it on a ringtone on a phone, or a person's got it as an alarm tone on the phone, and the phone is ringing, but it's ringing music, then that music is haram. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith that when he went for Mi'raj, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had shown him the different forms of punishment for people. And the people who used to listen to music, then for them hot boiling lead was poured into the ears of the person who used to listen to music. Sometimes it becomes such nowadays that the person, he can't function without listening to music. He's got earphones in his ears, people are jogging, they got music, people got music playing in the cars, the phone, there's music. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as we were walking, we were going, from a distance there was a sound of music that was coming. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately, he placed his Mubarak fingers in his ears. He blocked his ears, that music mustn't even reach his ears until he passed that entire place and that music couldn't be heard. So the student of Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, Imam Nafi rahmatullah alayhi, he says, I saw Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu doing the exact same thing. That when there was music, then he placed his fingers in his ears and he shut his ears off that music that was being played. Why? Because I don't want to hear any music. I don't want that music to enter into my ears. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we do the same also. If there is sometimes a car that's going past and there's music, then block our ears. This shows resentment to that guna and that sin. And this makes Allah Ta'ala very, very happy. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala becomes pleased with us. And look at my banda. He's not just carrying on like normal that the music is being played. Maybe he can't stop it, but he's blocking his ears that the music mustn't enter into his ears. Nowadays it's become so common on a cell phone, the ringtone is music. And sometimes it happens that we are sitting in the lady's talim, and whilst we're sitting in the talim, somebody's musical ringtone is going off. And that guna, that lady, whoever her ringtone is that got that musical ringtone on it, she's getting guna and she's making everybody else into guna also. So we must never ever keep a musical ringtone on our phones. Just have a simple plain ringtone and no musical ringtone. Because that musical ringtone will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that there's two things that is cursed by Allah ta'ala. One is musical, the music that plays. Any music that is being played is cursed by Allah ta'ala. And the second is the wailing. Wailing of a person at the time of a calamity. These are two things that are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never ever should we have a musical ringtone on our phones. And we should encourage others also. If somebody has got a musical ringtone, encourage them, change that ringtone. Just put a plain, simple ringtone. why do you want to get yourself involved in guna, and why do you want to involve other people into guna by listening to that, by having that musical ringtone? So one day in a madrasa, one student asked, Malana, what if we put a qirat or azan as a ringtone? So Allah Ta'ala's name is not so cheap that we use the name of Allah as a ringtone. And what if your phone has to ring in the toilet and then Allah Ta'ala's name is being played on it? Just have a plain simple ringtone and it can inform you that your phone is ringing. If you need to answer it, you answer it. Similarly, when it comes to an alarm tone, a person is setting his alarm and he's going to wake up for Fajr Salah. But that alarm is a musical ringtone. And he wakes up with the sound of music. The very first thing that falls into his ears when he wakes up in the morning is the sound of music. What a shame for a person that the first thing in the morning when he wakes up, there's music being played on that alarm ringtone. So we set a plain ringtone, plain alarm tone. Nothing to do with music. So it doesn't affect our hearts. It doesn't affect our iman. Sometimes you find children's toys. Children's toys also has music on it. We must be careful. If it's got music, throw that toy away. We don't need a toy that has music in our house. Our houses must sound with the dhikr of Allah, with the tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem, with the bayanat of the akabir and the ulama, not with musical toys and musical ringtones. Also very important, is that nowadays, you have many, many nasheeds that's got music with the nasheed. So the nasheed is playing, but with the nasheed there's a sound of music on it. Either there's a drum or there's a guitar or there's some music with it. Remember, to listen to that nasheed is haram. It's the same as listening to music. The same guna that a person will get by listening to music, the same guna a person will get by listening to these nasheeds, the nasheeds with music. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, guide us, assist us, that sometimes you find even in a radio station, it's an Islamic radio station, it's a Muslim radio station, but that music, that nasheed that is playing there is not a nasheed. That is a music. It's a musical song. And the singers who are singing also, they have nothing to do with Islam or anything to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are far from this. And they are exactly like how the musical teams, how they will have their concerts and their songs. Then they are doing exactly the same thing. And with that, all the musical instruments that are being played. Now a person who is a Muslim and is a gullible Muslim, he thinks, no, I'm listening about Allah Ta'ala, I'm listening about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But this is the ploy of shaitan to get us into guna and to get us into sin by listening to these nasheeds. So if there's a doubt in our mind, you put the nasheed on and there's a doubt in our mind, hey, there's music in the background, and just put it off. Because in that is a sign of taqwa, that the person is concerned, I have to stand before Allah, I have to answer before my Rabb. And this what I am listening to, I'm not sure about it. It may sound like it's a nazam or it's a nasheed, but there is music with it, or it's in the same tune of a musical song, then it's not permissible for me to listen to this. Sometimes a person is traveling somewhere, or a person is buying something from a shop, and there's music that's being played. Sometimes a person is traveling in transport, like public transport, like an aeroplane or taxi, person is traveling and there's music being played. If we can put it off, we ask the driver to put it off. And if we can't put it off, then from our hearts we make istighfar. We ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Allah Pak, forgive us for this. We're traveling on this plane, and on the plane now they got music playing. So Allah Ta'ala, you forgive us for this. So this one guna of music today that we made little muzakar of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us from this evil sin of music that has gripped us from all different sides. And as our children are growing up, they must not grow up in this culture of listening to music. Because this music is such a thing, it's the stepping stone. It's the stepping stone towards lots of evil and guna. In fact, many of the ulama, they say that this is the stepping stone to zina and adultery. Person who sits and listens to music. So Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us. Today our topic that we're supposed to be discussing, inshallah, is the topic of haya and shame. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every believer, and every Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with the quality of haya and shame. We translated as shame, translated as modesty. In a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, al imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'ba. Iman is about 70 different branches. And the highest branch of iman, afdalwa la ilaha illallah. The highest branch of iman is la ilaha illallah. Wa adnaha imatatul adha anit tariq. The lowest branch of iman is to move something harmful from the road. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to explain, wal haya'u shu'batun min al iman. That haya is a major branch of iman. It's a major part of iman. That a person has modesty and shame in them. So when a child is born, and a child is ushered into this world, then the child, Allah Ta'ala naturally creates in the child the quality of haya and modesty and shame. And that haya remains with a person unless a person tears that fabric of haya off his body or off her body, and that haya is lost. And when that haya is lost, then it's lost for good. It's very difficult to bring that haya back in. One day, Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was sitting in a majlis, and there were two small girls who came in to give one message to Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So as they walked into the majlis, feeling shy for each other, they both hiding behind each other, they came quickly to Abbaji. They mentioned whatever they had to tell him, and they ran out of the majlis khana. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali commented on this. He said, "Dekho, unke andar itna ziyada haya hai. Can you see how much of haya, shame and modesty they have in them? That they're feeling shy to come in the presence of men." Then Hazrat Ji continued to explain, and he said that this quality of haya is natural in a woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has naturally created this quality of haya, shame and modesty. Where a woman feels hard, she feels difficult to come in the presence of a man. Because of the haya, the shame and the modesty that she has in her. She will not just come in front of any person like this. She stays within the confines of her home because she feels secure and safe in the home. Because of that haya and that modesty that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed her with naturally. Then Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali went on to say, he says, but this haya, if a person tears it off, and he tears this fabric of haya, thereafter when it's gone, then it's lost forever. Very difficult for a person to get that haya back. Yes, with lots of tawbah, istighfar, and a firm resolve to change a person's life, then that haya comes back. Before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people that were living in Hijaz had absolutely no haya. It was such that when they came to the Kaaba Sharif, then they would take off all their clothes and make tawaf of the Baytullah Sharif with no clothes. So this was the kind of people that were living in Hijaz. But with the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam instilled such a high level of haya in them that every woman thereafter covered herself completely from head to toe. Veils and paradas and burqas, everything was how it came. When the command of Allah came, they made it happen, they brought it into their lives. They brought that haya and shame. A woman will never come in front of a man. So that was the high level of haya that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had brought into the ummah. With the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this whole thing changed. And how much of haya then came into the people of Hijaz, the people of Arabia. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about this in many, many different ahadith. Quran Sharif speaks about this, that a woman is a person who is very, very bashful, very full of shame, full of modesty, full of haya. A woman will not present herself in front of strange men. She will not open up her face in front of strange men. Even her voice also will be in parda. Even her voice also will be in parda. That is, she will not even allow her voice to reach the ears of a non-mahram male. Sometimes it happens that we're in a house and there's a dawat. And in the dawat, there's men eating on one side, in one room, and there's a need now to call the males or to make... So some women have such a high level of haya that they won't even shout like to call a person. If the husband's name or the father's name is whatever it is, they won't shout Muhammad, so that her voice doesn't even reach the ears of those men that are eating in that room. Either with the sound of a knocking or send a child to come and call the father. But the voice will be kept within in the parda. So much of haya and so much of shame. Our Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, our Hazrat Mufti Sahib mentions, he says, normally if you're going for imtihan towards Northern Natal, or you're going to the Eastern Cape for exams, then Hazrat Mufti Sahib always tells us, he says, see, you're going for exams to Harrismith and Ladysmith. You're going for exams to King Williamstown and Queenstown. But he says, in this there's a big lesson for us also. That although these cities and these towns, they were ruled by the kuffar, but at some stage in their lives also, there was a high level of haya and shame. Because you see, when it came to Harry Smith, they took the man's name and they said Harry Smith. But when it came to Lady Smith, they never took the lady's name. The name was hidden behind the parda and it just was kept Lady Smith. The lady's name, no one knows what the lady's name was. It was just written there, Lady Smith. The surname was there, but the lady's name was concealed. Same, he says, Hazrat Mufti Sahib tells us, same you learn also. When you go to the Eastern Cape, it's King William's town. So King William was name, his name was written there. But Queenstown, then the Queen's name wasn't written. Why? Because that woman's name also was in parda. That woman's name also was concealed. So Allah Ta'ala give us that tawfiq also. That we learn that very high level of haya and shame and modesty, like was in the lives of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, radiallahu anhum, the Azwaj-i-Mutahharat, the Banat-i-Tahirat, radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. It's such a high level of haya and shame. Sometimes, a person is sending food to the masjid. So we're sending food to the masjid, which is a very, very good deed. There's a jamaat that is there. So we'll send food. And with the food, food are kept in containers. So those containers, obviously we want that those containers must come back to our homes. So we normally will put a sticker, and on the sticker it will be written there, the person's name of who the container belongs to. So it's not necessary for us as women to write our names on that sticker. We can just write the surname and a phone number, or we can write the her husband's name. So that the woman's name is kept concealed. Otherwise what happens is, it's going on the dastarkhan, and there's a whole host of men who are sitting there, and that woman's name is being passed from one hand to the other hand, which is not the ideal as far as haya is concerned. So like we learned, what Hazrat Mufti Sahib had told us, that in the names Harrismith and Ladysmith, that lady's name was concealed. Here too we conceal even the name of a woman. So the dressing, the speech, the voice, the shape, everything is concealed. In fact, the Quran Kareem also speaks about that when a woman walks, then she should walk in such a way that there shouldn't be the sound of that walking of that woman, even that should be concealed. Nowadays, very common is that the woman will walk with high heel shoes, and that high heel shoes will make a tok tok sound as it's walking. And that the Quran Sharif says, if a person has some sickness, if a man has some sickness in his heart, that will affect his heart also. That will affect his iman. That walking, the sound of that walking will also affect a man's heart. So Allah Ta'ala bless us with this very, very high level of haya and shame. It's something that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala really, really loves. It's a quality which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala really admires in a woman. It's a quality of haya. In a man and in a woman, both supposed to be having haya. It's not only that women supposed to be having haya. Haya is for men also, it's for women also. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith, al-haya'u wal-imanu qurana. Haya and iman, they both coexist. They coexist. It's haya and iman is together. If haya goes, iman goes. If haya goes, then iman goes. That's why the hadith sharif says also, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَاءُ فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئِتْ. When a person loses their haya and their shame, then a person will do whatever they want. Then they don't care about anyone. And a person does whatever he wants. Why? Because he lost his shame. He lost his shame. That's why you'll find sometimes a youngster on his status, he's even prepared to write something about himself. Now with all these LG things and all that are carrying on, so he doesn't feel shy to write, hey, I am like this, why I am like that. On his status, he's got for the world to see why he lost his haya and his shame. Person had little bit of haya and shame, he'll conceal that. That I can't express myself, although I'm a gunahgar, although I'm a sinner, although I'm doing wrong, but I need to conceal my wrong. I don't have to express it to everyone. But this is when a person loses that haya and that shame. You'll find so many incidents of girls who are attending schools, high schools. So for them to take a picture of themselves and send it to all the boys in the class, it doesn't mean anything. Why? Because this girl has lost her haya. She has lost her shame. And this shame is mentioned, what is mentioned is the jewel of a person. It's the diamond of a person. We look after it and we take care of it like how we take care of a diamond. Because this is what will protect and this is what will look after our iman. Amongst the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, one Sahabi who we all know of, his name is Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhum, it is mentioned about him, and it's mentioned in every khutbah on a Friday, Asdaquhum Haya and Usman. A Sahabi with the highest level of Haya and shame was Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down and his lungi was slightly up where his Mubarak shins were exposed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak shins were exposed. And she says, my father, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, walked in. He wanted to speak to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He spoke to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he left. Then shortly thereafter, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu came. He requested to speak to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spoke to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then left. And then Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu came. And when he requested permission to enter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up straight, put his lungi right, covered his shins, and then he sat up and spoke to Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha explained, she says, Ya Rasulullah, I noticed that when my father came, you spoke to him. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu came, you spoke to him. But when Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu came, then you sat up, you straightened your lungi, and you spoke to him. Why was this? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reply to her was, should I not feel shy of a person who even the malaika feel shy for him? Should I not feel shy for a person who even the malaika feel shy for him? In other words, this man's haya and his modesty is so great, that even the malaika feel ashamed of her, feel shy for Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu because of his high level of modesty. So Allah Ta'ala give us this tawfiq. Now in order for us to bring this haya and modesty in us, our ulama say that this thing starts off, this haya, it starts off with our dressing. It starts off with our dressing. That how we dress, this expresses the haya, the shame, the modesty that we have. In the old, people had lots of haya and shame. Older people, they made sure that they wore long, loose flowing dresses. Thick, coarse. It was not see-through. It was not body hugging. It was not tight clothing. It was loose, long, flowing dresses, thick garments that covered the whole body. The hair of a woman was always covered. The hair of a woman was always covered. You'll hear from many people. They'll say, you know, my dadi was such that I can't even remember ever seeing her hair. She always had her hair covered. Always had her hair. So much of shame and haya they had that they wouldn't express it and expose it. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, this incident is mentioned in Siratul Mustafa by Hazrat Maulana Idris Kandelvi rahmatullah alayh. She says that on one occasion when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell me if I remove my head cover, if I remove my scarf and my hair gets exposed, are you still able to see that angel in the house? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, no. The moment your hair is exposed, that angel is out of the house. So this here shows that the malaika also leave our homes when our heads are exposed. The high level of haya and shame we're speaking about, it starts off with our dressing. Even our little children, our little girls that are growing up, they don't need to wear tight body-hugging clothing. The clothing must be loose, it must be long, it must be flowing, and it must be full of shame and modesty. The clothing nowadays has become such that a lady is wearing a cloak, the cloak has got an open front, and underneath she's wearing tight clothing. Sometimes the pants is above the ankles, maybe half of the shin. All of this is being exposed. This is going to destroy our haya. We have to come back to that original style of dressing, like how the older people wore, like how the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum wore, that loose, thick clothing, not see-through. Heads are covered and loose flowing. So this is the first thing that our ulama kiram teach us, that if we want this haya to come back into our lives, then this is how it will come back, inshallah, if we start off with our dressing, number one. Number two, changing our clothes. So the ulama say, even if it's in front of a newborn baby, you don't ever change in front of anyone. Even if it's a newborn baby, you don't change in front of the child. Because even though the child may be a newborn child, he's still going to register something in his mind. So we conceal ourselves, go into a room where no one is there. And then we change our clothing, never ever in front of anyone. And at home also, we make sure that we are dressed in such a way that the dressing is full of modesty and shame, full of haya. And the third thing our ulama-i kiram explained to us is, there must never ever be mixing. There must never ever be mixing between boys and girls. Even if we got grandchildren in our homes, then the boys must play with the boys, and the girls must play with the girls. Boys and girls can't all be playing together. Ali, Malina, everyone is all together and playing. Then this is going to become a big problem. It's going to become a means of losing their haya and their shame. So whether it's in school, whether it's in madrasa, or whether it's at home, or whether we're on holiday, make it a point that our children grow up with this understanding that boys must play with the boys and the girls must play with the girls. The boys and girls can't be mixing up. And this goes for wherever it is. Even when it comes to ourselves also, if there's a dawat somewhere, or there's a walima, or there's a wedding, and it's a mixed gathering, then just walk away from there. We're speaking about music. One sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he attended one walima. Just as he came into the walima, he heard the sound of some music. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu made a U-turn and he walked out from there. He said, this is not our place. If there's some music that is being played, then this goes also if it's a mixed gathering. If it's a mixed gathering, men, women all sitting together, then move away from there. Because this is the thing that will destroy our haya. And the fourth thing what our akabir ulama are saying is that the cell phone, the smartphone doesn't make us any smarter. Remember that smartphone is full of evil and full of guna. There's music on there, there's pictures on there, there's videos in there, there's clips on there, there's the worst kind of gunas and sins. Our youngsters, unfortunately, are soaked in the guna and in the sin of the smartphone. That smartphone is there, and what's happening on that smartphone and what they're watching on that smartphone, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. As a parent, be very, very careful how we bring our children up. That phone mustn't even come into their hands, because that is a tool to break all the haya that is within them. So this phone. So these are the 3-4 things that our ulama kiram are speaking about. And I'll just end with this one incident of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, she was the most beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is mentioned about her that she is the queen of the women of Jannah. And she was a woman who had lots of haya. She was very, very bashful. Lots of shame and modesty she had in her. On one occasion, when she went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask for a helper, this incident comes in Al-Fazail-e Amal. There's no time, so I'm not going to go into the detail. But she went to go and ask for an assistant, for a helper, to help her at home. And very quickly she came back. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, her husband, asked that, why you came back so quickly? So she replied that, when I went to go ask my father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for an assistant and for a helper, then there were some men that were standing there and talking to him. I didn't feel it appropriate for me to come in front of them. That's why I just came back home without asking. Now look at her high level of shame and haya. She realized that there's men standing there. I shouldn't be standing there in front with the men. Number one. Second thing is, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he says, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us that, what is the best thing for a woman? What is the best thing for a woman? So nobody answered this question. Then after a little while, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, when he came home, he asked Hazrat Fatima that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us this question, what is the best thing for a woman? And nobody gave the reply. So Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, she gave the reply, and she says, I feel that the best thing for a woman is that she must look at no man and no man must look at her. She must look at no man and no man must look at her. And when she passed away, just before passing away, she made a wasiyat that my janaza must be done at night. Why? Because no man must see my body. No man must see my body. And when they're carrying the janaza, they must have a wooden frame over it with a cloth that is covering it. So this was the high level of haya and shame Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala on our head. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless us all with a high level of haya and shame and modesty, and grow our children up with this beautiful quality of haya and shame and modesty. And Allah pak save us from this bihayai that is coming into the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.